Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
My goodness, another explosive Friday here on your home of America's team. Sean and RJ live from Star Power on 105.3. The Fam, Mike Fisher, will join us momentarily. Is Tyron in or out? ESPN releasing an inside story of Jerry Jones and Roger Goodell. It says, NFL teeters on all-out unprecedented civil war. Here's the quote that's going to probably be the lead one, even though Roy's finding a ton of other good ones, which we'll update you on here in a second. Jerry to Goodell, I'm going to come after you with everything I have. If you think Bob Kraft came after you hard, Bob Kraft is a pea compared to what I'm going to do. All right, let's advance the story a little bit with what else we're seeing. And we take this to the Zeke case. You got some else on that?
Well, the thing that I love the most about all this is the idea that the NFL has already potentially, a confidant said, they have gauged Adam Silver's interest in running the league. Because they know they have the problem the owners have is they have no leverage with Roger. He has no successor. And he's made enough money where he could just walk away. And you can't just put any, you know.
Adam Silver going to run both leagues?
No, he would leave the NBA. But he said no. So the thought is maybe bring Paul Tagliabue back for a year. Paul Tagliabue's kind of got his feet kicked up now. Do you want to go backwards?
Here's the question that we missed with Jerry on Tuesday. And maybe.
We don't miss questions.
We did. We did this one. This could be the genesis of everything. Did Roger Goodell tell you that Zeke was not going to be suspended? Did he lie or mislead you? Because that's where this is going. Jones, we were in training camp when Jerry said there's nothing to it.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
So, like, that made Jerry look really stupid. That made Jerry look very misinformed. Why would Jerry have said that? Here's why. Jones told several people he came away from Goodell's conversation with an assurance there would be no suspension for Zeke, and that Goodell felt the running back should enter counseling and perhaps issue a statement showing contrition for his behavior. Jerry replied that Elliott would not be contrite about domestic violence because he had not committed it. Jones told me, a high-level source said, Jerry told me, Roger told me there was nothing to worry about. Jerry was damn sure that Zeke was free and clear. Now, NFL spokesman, of course, says absolutely no assurances were given to Jerry by the commissioner that there would be no discipline at any point in the process. Later that month, the owners were set to vote on granting the six-member compensation committee, led by Arthur Blank, that would start Goodell's extension. And Jerry said, I don't want to be on the committee, but I want to represent the owners who are not on the committee. I want to be an ombudsman, old-school journalistic term that Mike Fisher knows about. That position was approved. At the spring meetings in Chicago, the owners, including Jerry, voted unanimously to extend Goodell's contract. Jones railed later that he and owners didn't spend a single minute reviewing Goodell's job performance. And then finally, before we bring in Fish, Jerry didn't know that Roger had changed his mind, was changing his mind about Zeke. And he didn't know that Goodell was facing pressure. Remember when I told you guys a couple of weeks ago, actually, Dan Patrick said it, and I heard Dan Patrick say it, that he had heard other owners pressuring Goodell to punish Jerry for Zeke, because they had been punished. And here's that. Bob Kraft had called Goodell in the summer, reverting to the Zeke case, and told the commissioner, my guy got four games for footballs, and there's still nothing on this. Other owners wanted Jerry to also be humbled. So that's where we are in this very good, very insightful, but very long piece. Let's bring in Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on 105.3 The Fan. Mike, have you read through this and your biggest takeaways, if so?
Well, I have, and it certainly confirms what we've long believed, which is that this is really about Ezekiel Elliott. The Jerry Jones conflict with Roger Goodell didn't exist 3 months ago.
Right.
There wasn't a conflict. They were going to be fine. And Sean, I think your instincts are right, and I think the story's right. One of the reasons that they were going to be fine is Jerry felt very comfortable with what Goodell's ruling and finding was going to be regarding Ezekiel Elliott. And if you think all the way back to training camp, the three of us had players telling us Ezekiel Elliott's not going to be suspended. We're going to be fine. This is going to work out fine. I wonder where they got that information. And so it's not just that Mr. Jones has egg on his face now, although that's never fun. It's that Jerry Jones thought that the Ezekiel Elliott-led Cowboys were a real Super Bowl contender, and he was probably right. And then his commissioner pulled the rug out from under Zeke and out from under Jerry.
On August 11th, Goodell announced a six-game suspension. Jerry saw it as a, quote, complete betrayal, an overcorrection by Goodell. Jones later called it publicly. He said on 105 Through the Fan. You guys can reference that on the radio station. Privately, Jones seethed to confidants that Goodell had not studied the case's many details, and he considered suing the league to get the suspension overturned. Roger blew off his own investigator's conclusion. It's just patently unfair. Jerry had turned on Goodell, perhaps for good. Man.
Yeah, and part of the part and parcel with the way this league now does its business, and they set it up this way, and Mr. Jones set it up this way too, is I get to call Roger and stroke him and see if he won't see it my way. And then the Giants get to call Roger and stroke him. And then Mr. Kraft in New England, they get to sit in the hot tub with the commissioner and play footsie. That really isn't the way that a league's supposed to work. And they've now caused it all of them, including Mr. Jones, have caused the entire NFL to have egg on its collective face. I don't think there's anything to Adam Silver coming over. Why would he want to come over? By the way, he only makes one-fourth of what Goodell makes.
Right.
So that would be one good reason. but Adam Silver has set up an NBA to where they don't have these problems ever. I don't think anybody even knows that Noah, the center, he's suspended for drug use.
Joakim Noah.
Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Why isn't that in any headlines?
Well,
the NBA.
Because the NBA has a strong union and a union and an ownership group that work together to come up with these suspensions.
That's my point. The reason that's not a screaming headline is because nobody argued about it. They just did it, and everybody just nodded their head and moved along. And as I've said many times before, you've got to really have done something wrong, drug-related, in the NBA, because mostly they don't care, which I think is a wise policy, because the NFL is so errant in thinking that it should be in the law and order business. And they shouldn't have been in the law and order business on Zeke. Where somebody might call Jerry a bit hypocritical here is, was Jerry trying to ever shut down the Tom Brady deflated ball chase?
Right.
Well, and the fact that he wasn't, as I recall it, suggests again that for Jerry, this isn't about Goodell or league rules or ombudsman. This is about Zeke.
Mike Fisher here on the Fan. I'm also being told by someone that knows a decent amount that this is not about Rodgers' contract. This is an overthrow attempt. That's just what I was told.
Yeah, it says it right here.
At league meetings a month later in this ESPN article, Jones took over a meeting about Rodgers' contract, irritating his colleagues by calling himself more than once the ranking owner and adding, I'm going to be a pain in the ass to committee members. Jerry, this is from a senior league executive. Jerry's message to Roger was, I run this league. You better get with it. This is about power and control, not the contract. That's all white noise. Wow.
Yeah, let me jump. And that's not Jerry talking. That's Don Van Natta paraphrasing somebody else. And I buy every bit of it. Don Van Natta obviously is outstanding at what he does. The big central issue for me as it relates to Jerry is, are you doing all these things for the good of the league, or are you doing all these things for the good of the Cowboys? And you can understand why there's at least a handful of other owners who think it's the latter. Because if it was the former, Jerry should have jumped in when the Giants kicker, Josh Brown, was only suspended for one game.
Yeah.
And Jerry should have done something about it. Now that Jarvis Landry, there's apparently a videotape that shows that he's guilty of domestic violence, allegedly, Jerry should jump in for the good of the league. Jerry should have jumped in on Tom Brady for the good of the league. But the time when Jerry really jumped in is when his MVP candidate was penalized.
Right.
Well said.
Go ahead.
Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, joining us here at 105 through the fan. All right, actual on-the-field stuff. Tyron, in, out, we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. And we'll see today at practice. To my way of thinking, it would be logical if Tyron practices today, that would be with the intent of playing Sunday. I think there's some buzz that he might practice today just to see where he's at, and that maybe there'd be a plan to have him go Thursday instead of Sunday. But listen, if you're ready, you're ready. And if you need to win a game here in the next however many days it is, the next 8 days, 6 days, the one you need to win is Philadelphia. So I don't understand. I have, you know, there's no logic for me in saying let's practice today to get you ready for the Chargers. You need to win Sunday night's game. We'll know more, and I'll have an 11:25 report with G-Bag Nation today live from practice.
So Jane Slater says Tyron is out, and she even has the replacement starter in Byron Bell. You're not hearing the same thing.
Yeah, Byron Bell is absolutely the guy who has now usurped Chaz Green as the backup to Tyron, the guy who would start if Tyron can't go. You guys, you know, we've known Jane Slater for a long time. She's as good as it gets. And so she and I will both be having a hard eye at practice today to see how it comes out. And Jane and I will both be all over this thing all over the course of the next 3 days.
Mike Fisher here on The Fan. What else do we need to know about this game, injury-wise or game key-wise, Mike?
I think Justin Durant is going to be your middle linebacker of record. I just think the security blanket nature, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's supposed to be. He can play against the runner pass. And I talked to him yesterday. He said, yeah, I'm rested. I'm ready. You know, they've been keeping him in the cupboard for a little bit. And I think Justin Durant, who every once in a while, he'll make it over the course of his career, he'll make a game-changing play. He's capable of that. I think he'll be the middle linebacker of record. I think you're going to see all the kids in the secondary, and that is Jordan Lewis and Xavier Woods and, yes, Chido Awuzie. I think they've all got roles. I do not think you'll see Jeff Heath. I think the concussion protocol will keep him out for this game. And then you've got to find a way to do what happens all the time in the NFC East. And, of course, I'm a Sean and RJ listener. Who isn't, apparently? and I've heard you guys talk about, you know, the Cowboys are going to lose by 20, and they might. But I think there's some recency bias here. Had these two teams played last week, you wouldn't have picked the Eagles by 20.
I didn't know Sean Lee was going to be out.
Sure, but I think we're coming off a dismantling in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Forgetting that the Chiefs beat the Eagles and the Cowboys beat the Chiefs,
okay.
And therefore .. And then I just look at all the times when the Cowboys play the Giants. And last year the Cowboys beat everybody, but could never beat the Giants. This year, almost the same Giants team is terrible. Yet they went and beat Denver, who dismantled Dallas. So I think that this is still the fun of football. It's only fun on Sundays now because we have to spend all this other time talking about all these other things. But I think Cowboys versus Eagles it has a chance to be a magnificent game. And the X's and O's and the matchups and the who's in, who's out, that's the most fun part of football for me.
So what's your pick?
Oh, the Eagles.
you just sat here.
Oh my! You just gave a sham length answer to that question, and you went round and round telling us how this is gonna be a nail biter game.
He had to set up his safety net.
But Sean, if you'll give me 20, we'll put a dollar on it. Give me those 20 points.
Do you think they'll win by 10 or more?
I think it'd be a good game and a close game. But
okay.
At this point, the Eagles are at least as talented as you, maybe more, and they're clearly hotter and playing better. But give some credit here, though, to your guy, Jason Garrett. By the way, that was fun in the hallway with Jason Garrett the other day, wasn't it?
Yes. Oh, man, I had to ask five media members, can I report and relay what Jason said in the hallway? And they're all like, no. Because that was a different that was a different Jason. That's why you keep telling us press conference Jason is not Jason. That was real Jason that we heard and saw.
It was insightful, was it not?
Yes, it was. I'll give away too much. It was different. It was good.
It was insightful and it was funny and he said cuss words.
And it was honest.
He was a real person
yeah.
in the hallway. I think this is where he shines. This kind of situation. The Cowboys under Jason Garrett don't lose two games in a row very often, I don't think. And his ability to keep his team on an even keel, and I know sometimes we think of it as boring, but he thinks of it as, listen, don't get too up, don't get too down. Just keep doing what we do. All these cliches that he lives by,
yeah.
he believes in them, those come in really handy. When you've got that firm a grip all the time, the same strength of grip, and now you're faced with adversity, that same grip comes in really handy this week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.